Welcome to the Dirt Show, brought to you by Napa Auto Parts, celebrating 100 years in business. And today we'll be joined by Midwest Modified driver Travis Engebretson. We'll also hear from Jim Misgan from Misgan Auto Parts, Hall of Fame sprint car driver Shane Carson, and a little more about our local Napa Auto Parts stores right after a few words from our sponsors.
Does good food get your heart racing? How about food that's prepared to perfection with your favorite sauces and seasonings? Friends, it's me, the Sauce Man, and I'm here to tell you that if you love Full Throttle flavor, you're going to love our line of premium barbecue sauces and seasonings. Made with high-quality ingredients, you can trust our products to punch up the flavor of your favorite meats, main dishes, and so much more. Get winning recipes and join our sauce squad at cookiesbbq.com. And remember, smart cookies use cookies.
Are you ready for some earth-shaking horsepower? Then make plans to attend the 2025 Featherlight Fall Jamboree at Deer Creek Speedway. The action starts Thursday night, September 25th, and continues through Saturday night, September 27th. The event features USMTS Modifieds, USRA BMods, and USRA Hobby Stocks. Get your camper and tailgating supplies together and get ready for a three-day weekend of fun, food, and some incredible racing action. See DeerCreekSpeedway.com for more details.
Summer heat wears down more than just you. It drains your battery, too. High temps speed up evaporation inside your battery, cutting its life short. Right now at Napa Auto Parts, get up to $25 back on a prepaid card with a qualifying Napa battery purchase. That's $20 back on a Napa Legend or Legend Premium AGM and $25 back on a AAA battery. Save today. Drive worry-free tomorrow. Only at Napa Auto Parts. Offer valid at participating stores through August 31st, 2025. Restrictions may apply. See store for details.
Napa know-how!
When it comes to choosing your next industrial, commercial, residential, and ag electrician, choose Coles Electric. Hi, this is Steve Cole. Coles Electric offers pole setting, directional boring, underground trenching, boom truck service. We also update your lighting to new energy-efficient LEDs for years of reliability and service. Planning, design, or 24-hour service, see ColesElectric.com or call 507-451-1387.
Let me tell you, friends, about our store. It's a great place we call Miners Outdoor.
Miners Outdoor, your family-owned Husqvarna dealer, is the only preferred partner Husqvarna dealer in Minnesota and one of only 40 in the nation. Stop by Miners in Blooming Prairie to check out the dependable Husqvarna outdoor power equipment. From trimmers and chainsaws to zero turns and tractor mowers, we've got what your yard needs. With over 20 years of product knowledge, we also service what we sell. That makes Miners Outdoor your number one choice for lawn and garden.
Miners Outdoor, Major Tough.
If you're in need of a worry-free power lift door, then you'll want to stop and talk with Rod French. Make a statement with a PowerLift architectural door on your home or cabin. PowerLift doors can be retrofitted to fit an existing door opening or designed into your next commercial, agricultural, livestock, or aircraft hangar build. Stylish, functional, and built to last. PowerLift doors by French's Manufacturing are made locally in Dodge Center, Minnesota by their experienced craftsmen. Contact Callie or Rod. PowerLift doors by French's Manufacturing. 374-9306.
This is Justin Melke from Melke Oil Company, this region's premier BP race fuel dealer, and you're listening to the Driver segment on The Dirt Show.
Welcome back here on The Dirt Show, and I am joined by Travis Engebretson. And Travis, you started your racing career in karts. Memories of what karting tracks you ran, and how did you perform in the karts?
Oh boy, I think before I ever first started racing, my dad's friend kind of got us into it, and he said get a kart and he was gonna sell it, and he said, well, if you want to give it a whirl or try it out and see how it goes. I think we went to Staples, and it was a little indoor track, and it was, from what I remember it was pretty flat, pretty short, but it was fun. And I think I maybe got like fourth or something like that, but I did okay for the first time ever racing in it. And my dad, you know, he'd been racing for years already before that, and so yeah, I think we're gonna take it, and kids seem to like it, so we kind of went with it there. And then after that, I raced mostly Westport and over by Villard here, and then I raced in Alex mostly after that. But I did take a couple trips to like Atwater and raced there a couple different times, and I did pretty well right away in my go-karting career. And the longer I went into it, the harder it got, you know, the more competition, the more you had to pay attention to your cart and whatnot. And so I struggled a little more later on, but it was still a lot of fun. I have a lot of good memories of the go-kart racing.
That indoor track, was that inside a pole shed or a cattle barn?
I think so. I was a little kid at the time, kind of. I think I was only 6 or 7 years old at the time, so I'm not entirely sure. But yeah, it was. I remember it was indoors because I want to say it was in the wintertime.
Wow, I never heard of that. But Leland McSpadden, one of the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame inductees, he used to race motocross with Ron Schumann inside old horse barn, and they said you really had to watch out for the poles.
Oh, yeah, I believe that, especially when you're motocrossing, you're jumping through the air and whatnot.
Cyrus, Minnesota, population 305. What is the main attraction in Cyrus?
There isn't really a whole lot. It's gotten pretty small. I think the population is less now, to be honest with you. I don't remember exactly what the sign says, but it's a pretty small town. I used to go to, I used to have a school. I went to elementary school up till sixth grade here, and I think when I got into high school, ninth grade, I think they closed down. Then they had a cafe in town that closed down a couple of years ago. It's kind of a small town that's not a lot going on right now. So that's kind of sad, but used to be a pretty good little town back in the day.
Your father, Terry, raced and was a successful driver. Memories of going to the track or helping Dad in the race shop?
So Dad, he started racing. This was before he even got into like the actual dirt track and like what we do now. He raced the enduro cars back in the day at the county fair, you know, mud racing, old cars, and he did very, very well in those. I remember, at least I don't remember, but I was told there was 1 year he won 10, they went to 10 county fairs and they won 10 races and whatnot, and he did really, really well, and I don't remember how many years exactly he did that, but he started racing B-Mods in 99, I think, or something like that, 99 and 2000, and then, or it was 2000 or 2001, or something like that, and then in 2002 he got into a modified, and yeah, I remember going with him when I was a kid, and I loved it. I always had loved it. Mom used to tell me I'd sit on her lap and watch it in the stands, and I'd just be shaking when the mods or late models were out there. I loved watching, loved going. It's always been a passion of mine.
Growing up around your dad's racing, his racing friends and trips to the track really kind of sets in motion what path you're going to take.
Yeah, it definitely has. I mean, I still know people from back when my dad raced, you know, meeting them for the first time, and then obviously I still see them now today, and a lot of people come up and ask me, hey, how's your dad doing, you know, and this and that and whatnot. And so, yeah, he's had a big impact on it for sure.
With SOTA Midwest Modifieds is your division of choice. Why Midwest Modifieds?
Well, I think it was, you know, it's kind of what they call it, a starter class. You know, you get into racing, it's kind of, it's supposed to be a starter class. But I honestly, I don't know. They get the most cars about every track you go to, and there's stiff competition, and there's a lot of good drivers, a lot of veteran drivers. You have people that have been in there for 10, 12, 15 years, and you got people that just started and are good. And it's a competitive division. I guess the only reason I started in it is because Dad ran a modified, and B-Mods were pretty close to it, and he started in a B-Mod, so he's like, well, if you're going to start, this is maybe a good spot to start in, and that's just kind of what we went with. It's more familiar, open wheels and whatnot, so that's just kind of the way we went.
Man, if Midwest Modifieds is a starter class, that's a tough division to go into.
Nowadays, it really is. I mean, you get to certain tracks, there's people in the top 10 that could win any night.
The funny thing about modifieds is I've seen them take a huge hit or get involved in a pileup and just drive away. They are fairly tough.
Yeah, they sure can be. And then sometimes it seems like the complete opposite. You get one little nick and then, you know, your right front's all messed up. You know, it's funny how that works. You can take a big hit and drive away from it, or you can take a little hit and all of a sudden something's messed up on it too. Them cars are unbelievable and finicky at the same time.
Yeah, you are definitely right there. I was out at Fairmont last weekend and seen a well-placed bumper. It looked just like a slight fender rub, and the other guy ended up having to pull off. I think it completely screwed up his rear suspension.
Yeah, that's kind of the pits when that happens.
How many nights a week do you race regularly and where?
In the earlier years when I first started, I was a little more gung-ho. I used to go a couple nights a week, and then we were going to like Montevideo, Minnesota, and Madison, Minnesota. And then as the years progressed, I've kind of backed down a little bit. I would kind of travel around here and there, and I'd still go to Madison and Montevideo, or I'd hit a Fergus, or I'd hit an Alec, or something like that. I live in Cyrus, you know, we live an hour away from all of those towns, basically. So it's kind of nice, you can pick and choose and where you want to go on a Friday night. If you want to go up to Fergus, or if you want to go down to Monty, or on a Saturday, it's like you want to go up to Alec, you want to go to Madison, or even a Wilmer on a Thursday night. You know, you can. I've gone to basically most of them tracks, but lately it's just been Alexandria Viking Speedway. I've been really trying hard the last 3 years. This has been my third year trying to win the track championship points at Alec. And so I've kind of just been going on Saturdays just for the hope of not wrecking anything, and then not on a Friday and not being able to make it on a Saturday, you know, and just been shooting for that.
You picked up your first Midwest Modified win in 2018. Walk us through that night and your heat race and the results of the feature.
To be honest with you, I don't remember how I did in the heat race, but in the feature, I do remember I started fourth, I believe, and I had it was a 2009 shock car, and that thing was wicked fast when the track slicked off, and it helped me that night. The track was very slick and very smooth, and I got the lead with probably 6-7 laps to go, I think, or something like that, and I led quite a few. There was caution after caution after caution. And this restart after restart after restart, I was crapping my pants, you know, up there. And the lead, never been there before, really. Never had that much of an opportunity of leading. And it ended up calling the race 2 laps short, I think, because of the caution. So that was kind of a buzzkill. But your first win, you'll take it how you can get it. And I was sure thrilled because that it had been a year. You know, I just started the year before that in 17. And I had a couple good runs, you know, and I was disappointed I didn't win. But you know, it made me try harder again next year. We got in a little bit more and started doing a little bit better, finishing more consistently and figuring a couple more things out in the car, and it sure helped a lot. But it was a lot of fun.
And that's an awesome win when you're able to pull it off like that, because bringing that field around to retake the green, leading the pack, is a lot of pressure.
Oh, it for sure is. And it seemed like every time I was out front, that was something that consistently would happen. I don't know exactly how many wins I've had in my career. It's really not even that many, probably under 15. And I bet you 10 of them were like that. There's always at least 2 or 3 cautions where it was at least a couple of them. You know, you got to lead the field back around and make a bunch of everybody back up, you know, nerves again, but makes you feel like you're into it a little bit.
Last year, you attended the Wasota 100 at I-94 Speedway. What was the whole Wasota 100 experience like for you as a driver?
That was a different experience. Oof, the man. There was a lot of good cars and a lot of hard work and making sure your stuff is ready to go. And, you know, it's a long, long day. You know, you start getting your stuff ready at, you know, in the morning, and you race till 11:30 at night or whatever it is. You know, unfortunately, we were lucky enough to get good weather last year, so we didn't have any rain delays or anything and whatnot, so that helps a lot. I honestly was just happy to make the show and get the 1X into the parade before the races. I thought that was pretty cool, and I got to drive a buddy of mine's car in that parade a couple years ago, and I really thought to myself then that, God, this would be cool to have my own car in here, you know. And last year we got a chance to try it out, and it worked out. We got in the show. We didn't do very well, but, you know, that's all right. First year of trying, so hopefully we can do better about that next year.
The Bob Gerke Memorial, that was a huge win for you and your career.
Probably the biggest win of my career, yes. First win I ever had, won in Fergus Falls. That track, for some reason, just kicked my butt, and it still kind of does. I haven't been back there much other than that 100, just because I've been working on that track championship and Alex are trying. And I used to race there on the weekly before that, probably 19 and 20, I believe. I was there about almost every Friday, and it just, I struggled really hard. It's a tough, fun track, lots of stiff competition, but yeah, winning that was really cool. And it was cool for a couple of reasons. One, because I've watched Bob race against my dad for years when I was a kid. So that was cool. So I know Abby and Ryan and whatnot. I know, I've known them for a while, or I don't know them really well, but I know who they are. They're super nice people and whatnot. And yeah, that was pretty cool. I was fortunate enough to draw a good number after getting selected to go to the redraw, which helps a ton when you can start up front, and especially a field of Midwest mods like that. I think Zach Benson on the inside of me, he was ended up being the national champ that year.
Viking Speedway. Fans who have not been there, it's huge, it's fast, and it's high banked. You got to have some guts to run that place.
Yeah, it's they call it the high flying half mile for a reason. You get moving around there, but I really enjoy that place. I really do. I've gotten to know it a little bit better, obviously, in the last couple of years. And I got to thank my dad for that one. He pushed it into my brain pretty early on that you got to learn how to run up top and got to be comfortable up there. And, you know, he's pushing that on in a good way, like in my brain when I first started driving. And I think that helps me now today because I am comfortable up there. And I don't know, some, it's kind of sketchy up there. You definitely get sketchy up there, you know, when you're on the edge of the track and you don't want to look foolish and go flying off the top and whatnot. But there's speed up there, and it especially in that high bank track, you carry a lot of momentum, and it definitely helps.
You kicked off the season at Viking Speedway with 5 wins in your first 7 starts. What were the keys to getting off to a great start?
Good starting spots help a lot. They just changed the format this year, and instead of a point invert, it's been a draw redraw. And I have gotten fortunate enough to finish well enough in my heat races that I always qualified for the redraw, and they're putting me in 3rd, 4th. And you're sitting in good spots to be able to contend, you know, and that's huge nowadays, and especially in the B mods, because everybody is so fast. So starting spots are huge. And yeah, that was definitely a surprise. I've never had that good of a start to my career in my life. So that was a very fun experience.
You also have a huge fan base cheering you on at Viking Speedway.
Yeah, I've gotten a lot of people come down and start talking to me after the races. It's been a lot of fun. I have a feeling that helps that I've showed up there consistently on a weekly basis the last couple of years. You know, people get to see the familiar face or the familiar car or whatever, and which is awesome to see. I do appreciate it a lot, and I love when people come down and say hi and say, you know, good job, or just like they like watching me or whatever. And I love to hear that stuff. That's why we do this thing. You know, I'll put on a good show for the fans and whatnot, and it's also fun for the driver. I enjoy the heck out of it.
Tanner Bitson, Ron Sauer, Tyler Bitson, Haley Dykoff, you run against some really stout competition every night.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. They are all fantastic race car drivers. I've said it in a couple of speeches in after Victory Lane. You know, Ron, he's 72 years old, and he is out there kicking butt every week. And it's insane. I mean, he beat me one weekend, and he gave me a run for my money one other weekend. And he would have definitely beat me if we come into the last corner. And I think he came in a little hard and missed his mark. And the way the track was ending up, if he would have hit the mark, he'd have beat me. And there's no doubt in my mind. But I've been there. I've done it. You know, it happens. It's hard to keep your momentum down when you're going into the last corner for the win. And Haley, she's phenomenal. She's done an exceptional job the last couple of years. She's always, always given me a run for my money. This year especially, in years past, she's flat out drove by me before. And all the bits and boys, Taylor, Tanner, and Tyler, they're all 3 competitive. Fergus and Alec, every week, they're 2 nights a week. They bust their butt. I've become pretty close with them the last couple of years, and chit-chatting with them after the races or during the races or whatnot. They have a super nice family, and I've used to race go-karts with them back in the day too, so I've known them for a long time, and they've always been super nice to me, race clean, and I honestly love racing against them every weekend. They're great competitors.
You're currently leading the points going into the finale night, August 23rd at Viking Speedway, and it usually comes down to the last night, the last feature, the last lap.
Yeah, hopefully we can be fortunate enough to not have any problems that night and just have a good solid run. I think we'll be good to go, but it's racing, so you never really know. the Gerke Memorial is coming up this Friday at Fergus Falls, and Alex doesn't race this weekend, and I was thinking about maybe heading to Fergus, but we're not decided yet. We'll see, but it'll be kind of fun, but I'm not sure if I want to risk it just because no one, like you said, it always comes down to the last weekend. You know, say we get 25 cars, and I'm the first one DNF, say something breaks. Well, if Haley or Ron has a really good night, then there goes my championship.
Something you do well, meticulous maintenance on the race car away from the track, is definitely one of your keys to success.
To win a championship in racing nowadays, you can't have any DNFs. And unfortunately, I did have one this year, but I was lucky enough where a couple of my competitors that were up there have also had one. And yeah, my dad has preached that from day one. You check your bolts, you check anything that could go wrong. You know, you're always keeping an eye out on different things. And he's caught stuff that I haven't seen and saved me, actually, quite a few times. So I owe a lot to that to him, and couldn't do it without him.
Advice from other drivers. Are there drivers you can rely on day in and day out with sound advice?
I have a good buddy. His name is Justin Fremming. I don't know if you know him or not or whatever, but he's an exceptional guy, and I've been friends with him, I think, since I was a kid. We grew up together, and he drove a B-mod for probably 10, 11 years or more, and he just moved up to an A-mod probably 3 years ago, and he did fairly well his first couple years, and he's been fantastic for advice on driving, changes to the car, and just things to try, you know. And you run out of ideas every now and again, and he's always thinking and always coming up with different things to try, and he's nice enough to share it with me, and I owe a lot to my success to him.
Favorite track and why?
Favorite track? I probably have to go with Viking Speedway. It's one of my favorites because they've probably raced it the most lately, so I have got to know it really well, and that helps a lot. But I do really enjoy Fergus Falls, I-94 Speedway. They always have a good program. They have always good racing and whatnot. That's another one of my favorites. I would say those two for sure. A Cedar Lake or something like that, you know, and try that out. I've never gone anywhere like that, which would be really cool, I believe. I went to Ogilvy once. They have a super nice facility. I kind of forgot about that. I tried the Topless one year in Ogilvy. That was a lot of fun, too. They have a really great facility.
It's hard to even say this, but the regular season is coming to an end. Do you have plans on running some of the fall specials?
I'm sure we will. We'll have to play that by ear, I guess. We'll see how the season ends up here, you know. And I'm sure I'll venture out a little bit after the points deal and Alec is over. I'd like to hit up a fall classic or maybe, you know, in Ogilvy, or if they're still having that. I guess I'm not sure. I haven't looked. But, yeah, I'd like to go try somewhere new. That'd be kind of fun.
Yeah, Ogilvy is a blast, except if it's 19 degrees outside.
Yeah, it gets a little cold every now and again. I remember being in Madison for the Madtown Showdown, and everybody broke out their snowmobile jackets. You know, it's early in, I don't know, it's in October. It's late in the year, and it was cold, and it's a two-day deal. It's kind of fun racing in cold weather, though, in my opinion. You know, you're used to sweating and being hot in a fire suit, and instead of getting out of your car and taking your suit down or whatever, you keep it up because you're warm in there. You know, it's kind of a different feel, but it's kind of fun.
We were there that year watching you, and actually one of the more popular spots was the burn barrels behind the grandstands with wood in them.
Oh, yeah, I believe that.
And you actually like cold weather because you played hockey and you're a big hockey fan. Are you still playing some during the off season?
No, not too much. They don't have much going on around here for stuff you can jump in and play, but yes, I don't mind the cold weather one bit. I work in it, you know, out at the family disposal and whatnot, so I'm outside for work and used to the cold weather. Played hockey, like you said, and I enjoyed it. I still love going to a Wild game here and there. Cold weather's never really bothered me a whole lot. In my opinion, you can always put more layers on and you can take off, I guess, when it's hot out, you know?
You could always go play pond hockey on Lake Cyrus.
I suppose I could. Yeah, I might have to do that this winter.
Who are some of the sponsors that help you out on your race car?
Michael Truck Sales are a huge sponsor. I've had them since day one. I know they sponsored Dad when he started racing, or I think through his whole racing program. They're very good friends of mine and my dad, Michael Truck Sales in Starbucks, Minnesota. They're super nice people. I got Ingebrigtsen's Disposal. Obviously, they've been great, you know, in helping me out. And Thompson's Insulation, Blake Flotten Trucking, Aquarius Home Services. My uncle, Kenny, he's been wonderful. He's been sponsored pretty much since the beginning. Big Whitey's Bar and Grill in Herman, they're on my car. They've been great for that. They're a newer addition, and they've been fantastic. Northern Tractor and Morris, they're great. They've been awesome sponsorship. I have a lot of great sponsors, a lot of good people behind me. There, a couple of them are family members, and I appreciate the heck out of everybody that helps me out.
Travis, 2025 has been one heck of a season for you. Hope to see you at some of the fall specials we attend in that 1X with Soda Midwest Modified. And thank you so much for taking the time to be with us here on the Dirt Show today.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it. Hope to see you guys in the fall.
Wolf & Sons Yard Service has heavy equipment. This is Scott Wolf. Whether you need a basement dug, a building removed, footings for a remodel, an RV, camper, or boat pad, rock, sand, or dirt hauled, call 455-3524.
Foamcraft Packaging is a small, family-owned company and has been in business since 1988. Hi, I'm Donna Ayers, and I own Foamcraft along with my husband, Bob. We specialize in quality, affordable, custom foam and wood packaging. Let our professional staff of designers, engineers, and manufacturers create a packaging solution that fits your needs and budget. Located at 400 Alexander Drive in Owatonna, Minnesota. Give us a call at 507-455-2893. Look us up at foamcraftpackaging.com.
Since 1997, Weir's Machine has been innovating the finest products in the racing industry. We also manufacture the Ultra Force load machines and develop the Ultra Force suspension software, which allows you to take your program to the next level. Be sure to check out the all-new Circle Track app, your ultimate go-to spot for race team information. Keep track of your maintenance schedule, parts list, car setups, and more. Proudly made in the USA, champions across the country choose Weir's Machine, Ultra Force, and the Circle Track app to take them to victory lane. Shop now at Weirsmachine.com, UltraForceTech.com, and the all-new CircleTrackApp.com. Follow us on all of our social media platforms at Weir's Machine.
Have you noticed your car is using more oil than it used to? Do you notice a little extra smoke coming out of the tailpipe? This could be caused by normal daily driving of your car. Justice Brothers Oil Treatment reduces exhaust smoke and oil burning due to excessive engine wear, and it helps your engine run smoother, cooler, and quieter. It also helps to restore lost compression and protect against oil oxidation. Help your car and the environment. Try a can of Justice Brothers Oil Treatment today. Check out JusticeBrothers.com.
See our display at Runnings.
Arrow Race Wheels is a leading manufacturer of high-quality steel racing wheels for both dirt and asphalt racing. Arrow Racing Wheels are built right here in North Iowa. This U.S. company's premium race wheels have been designed to put drivers on the top of the podiums for over 25 years. If you want to run with the winners, see ArrowRaceWheels.com or call 888-895-2376 today.
Midwest Collision.
You bend them, we bend them.
Midwest Collision.
Dedication to excellence. That's what sets Midwest Collision of Faribault apart from other collision repair shops. Bob and his staff at Midwest Collision will spend as much time as it takes on your vehicle to guarantee it leaves the shop looking and operating as good as new. Contact Midwest Collision today at 507-332-2434.
Midwest Collision.
You bend them.
Welcome back here on The Dirt Show, and I am joined by Jim Misgan from Misgan Auto Parts. And Jim, I vividly remember back in the late 60s when I was a little kid, when we would travel literally everywhere we would go outside in the country, there was junk vehicles everywhere. It seemed like between World War II in the late 60s, people accumulated a lot of stuff, and there was actually a state mandate to clean up the state, and that's literally how you got started here.
Yeah, we were just farmers and had an old Caterpillar and hauled a little gravel, and then when the Highway Beautification Act came, we got the contract to clean up the county, and that's how we got started. And after the county cleanup was done, people were calling us and asking us if we wanted to buy their old junkers. So, yeah, and then we just continued from there. as a family business back in 1972.
And speaking of family business, Misgan Auto Parts is now a third-generation business, and that's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's always fun to have your family involved. It can be a little challenging, but yet very rewarding to have your family involved. My dad and my mom were the first, and then my wife and I, and now our children. So, yeah, it's pretty exciting.
You have a team of people here at Misgan Auto Parts. Let's start with the ladies at the front desk. They handle your U-Pull lot, they field all the phone calls, and they coordinate all the daily parts delivery and shipment.
Yeah, they're a fine bunch of young women there working up front for us, and then the guys are working in the shop, stripping and draining the cars and getting them ready to either crush or put out in the U-Pull. And yeah, then mostly what I do nowadays is drive the semi.
I know the guys in the back, when I come in, it's really busy back there. And as you say, what do you have to do to a vehicle back there to get it ready to put it in the crusher?
Yeah, we have to first, of course, drain it and then get the battery out and put that in the proper place and then get all the gasoline out of them or diesel. And we have totes to put that in to either reuse the gasoline or to give it to the recyclers that come and reuse the oil for other purposes. So, yeah, and then the tires all got to come off and wheels. And, yeah, it's quite a project. A lot of work involved in it. We try to get as many through the shop as we can every day. But, yeah, our guy keeps hauling them in every day. So good supply of cars all the time to run through the shop.
And when I first got to know you, we still had all our color in our hair. There was no gray. And you basically did everything here in the lot, from drive the excavator to the skid loaders to yank motors to move cars. And now you are kind of the end-use guy. They load up the semi and you haul the scrap. Talk about where you take it and what types of scrap you're delivering.
Yeah, you're exactly right. A lot of frost on the rooftop now compared to when we were young, that's for sure. But, you know, time just keeps marching on, and that's what the younger generations are for, to replace us as we disappear into the sunset, as you would say. And, yeah, as far as taking the cars, most of the cars go down to Mason City where they have a shredder. And they shred them into little pieces you can carry around in the palm of your hand. It is an awesome machine. If you ever get a chance, get on YouTube and watch a car shredder working. It is wild.
Over the years, did you ever have any vintage race cars come in here? Because actually, on the way down, I just seen a whole stream of NHRA haulers heading north going to Brainerd International Raceway, and it would be so cool to have some old vintage race cars sitting around.
Well, I've had a few that weren't worth reusing come in over the years. You know, they were retired, they were tired, they were wrecked. Yeah, I've had a few of them come in over the years, and of course we would try to pick a few parts off from it, and then it would go to the crusher. So nothing real special has come in. I had a drag car I bought from a old friend of mine one time and resold that again. It was a 68 Camaro. It was a nice black big block car, but other than that, no, nothing real special has come in.
Back in the day when the guys race cars they built, when they were used up, they were literally used up.
Oh boy, were they used up. And some of them had like galvanized pipe for roll cage in them, and I don't know how they could trust them. They were just scary looking.
Jeremy had a little bent sheet metal over the weekend at Chateau Speedway.
Yeah, he slid into another car and took the side off from his car, so to speak. But he finished the race, moved up a few more spots, so nothing serious, just a lot of straightening of sheet metal. It could have been a lot worse. The guy right ahead of him rolled over, so that gentleman's got a lot of fixing to do.
And we always talk about this. Racing is such a family deal. You know somebody who races, you have a relative that races, you go to races as a family, you enjoy the evening. It's so much more being there at the track than just a 20-lap feature.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. There's always plenty to talk about there. A lot of times we meet an old friend of mine from way back, and he brings his grandson there, and his grandson has some developmental issues, but he is just into the racing, and he knows all the numbers and the cars and who's driving them, and it's just exciting to watch this young man get all excited when the racers come out. And yeah, even like last night, Mark Noble popped in, him and his wife, and they brought in his old van and sold it to us for scrap. And yeah, we had to talk racing and all that stuff for quite a while there when he was here. So yeah, racing is a big family sport.
The nice thing here at Misgan Auto Parts, you literally do it all, from cleaning up scrap in somebody's farmyard to recycling batteries, aluminum, tires. You take in vehicles and scrap them out or sell the usable parts off them. Anybody listening who needs an engine, a transmission, parts, anything, what's the best way to get a hold of Misgan Auto Parts?
Well, the easiest way is to just pick up the phone anytime from 8 to 5, Monday through Friday. Call 507-684-2100, or you can get us on misgan.com.
Jim, it's always a blast to be out here, and always nice to see you.
Well, it's good to see you. Bright and early in the morning, beautiful day, Minnesota, can't beat it.
In 2009, the Outlaw Mini Mod Racing Series was organized by Batwing Chassis founder Nathan Kilwine. Today, you can find the Outlaw Mini Mod class running at tracks like Chateau Speedway, Mason City Motor Speedway, Stewart Speedway, and Worthington Speedway, plus other tracks around southern Minnesota, North Iowa, and Wisconsin. Join the fun by becoming a driver or follow their 18-race Black Iron MFG Outlaw Mini Mod Series Point Championship schedule as a fan. Batwing Chassis. Fast, affordable fun. See batwingchassis.com.
As you stop the throttle to the floor, you want quick response and a burst of power. Hi, this is Corey from Byers Engine Service. Since 1975, our staff here at Byers Engine Service has been supplying hot rodders, drag racers, and circle track cars with the power and dependability they need at an affordable price. When you consider your next engine build, consider Byers. BESPerformance.com. No gimmicks, just horsepower.
Race fans, if you're headed to Knoxville Raceway this season for the sprint car races, make sure to visit the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. This year's special exhibit will be our track tribute to Manzanita Speedway and the rich history of the Western World Sprint Car Championship races. We'll be featuring 8 of the iconic race cars that raced at Manzanita, in addition to the 20-plus race cars being featured inside the museum this summer. And remember that on race days, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open from 8 a.m. until the final checkered flag falls here at Knoxville Raceway. So be sure to schedule some time to visit the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum and see the only museum in the world that is solely dedicated to sprint car racing, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
Hey, what are you doing?
Just watching Chevlin Enterprises picking up our trash.
That was a great decision to switch to Chevlin Enterprises.
Yes, it was. Great price, great service, locally owned and operated. And remember that spring garage cleanout?
Yeah, 2 full dumpsters, and they took care of it all.
I wish every decision was as easy as Chevlin Enterprises.
Amen to that.
Contact Chevlin Enterprises today at 507-214-8727.
Racers Cole and Kyron Anderson want to provide outstanding products for their customers at Anderson Enterprises. With their new 10-color screen printer, your t-shirts, sweatshirts, tank tops, and vests will stand out from the rest. Anderson Enterprises also provides embroidery on sweatshirts, jackets, beanies, baseball caps, blankets, and more. Mention this Dirt Show ad and receive 10% off your next order. Contact Anderson Enterprises in La Center at 507-351-9244 or AndersonEnterprises.net. Set yourself apart from the rest.
Bulldog Coatings. Let Bulldog protect and restore your floors. Transform your old garage floor with the local family-owned Bulldog Pros. Beautiful coatings,
Longevity, trust the experts, we make it so easy. Affordable solutions, you can't go wrong. See BulldogCoatingsMN.com. Bulldog Coatings, let Bulldog protect and restore your floors.
Welcome back here on The Dirt Show, and I am joined by one of my favorite people on the planet, Hall of Fame sprint car driver Shane Carson. And Shane, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, there is no place like it on the planet. This is a place where all of the sprint car racing memories, race cars, and stories are preserved, and it is a pretty cool place to visit.
You know, it really is. I was glad to see you there on induction weekend. I know you get around, and I'm glad you made that one of your destinations. As I tell everybody, I said, if you've not been there, you're missing it all, because they've got a little bit for everybody from every different era, you know, from the teens all the way up to the current. So, you know, the Hall of Fame is someplace that I'm really, really proud to be involved with.
Yeah, it was pretty cool being down there for night one and two of the USAC Corn Belt Nationals and the banquet. And we were sitting there in the front of the museum when you came walking in the door and gave me a wave and headed back with Johnny Rutherford to take a look at a very special sprint car that you have on display there at the museum. What is the story behind that car?
You know, that car, it's a Nance-built car, and I was just starting to race sprint cars. I'd only driven a few times for Laverne Nance. That would have been 76 into 77. I was still trying to figure out if I could ever lock up a ride, you know, where I could learn to race, you know, and I was really looking forward to that time. But Nance, he built an aluminum chassis sprint car. It was a one-of-a-kind. He built it in 1976, and Fred Linder drove it 14 times. And he told me that when he took it back to Nance, he told Nance not to run it anymore, that car was unsafe and there was too many things breaking off of it. But, you know, Laverne seemed like he decided that he knew more about that car than they did, and he was going to go race it anyway. And that's when he called me. So that was in 1977. And we took it up to Knoxville, you know, during the summer, and we thought we could get a race in or two before the Nationals hit. So when he took me up there to Knoxville, it would have been probably in July. You know, we were at a weekly show, but at that time, you know, the weekly show had 50 cars plus. So we went out to qualify. We came in like second quick, you know, out of the whole group. And they knew I had never been to Knoxville, and they was pretty sure that I was probably going to wad that car up at some point, and they didn't want to be responsible for that. So Earl Wagner comes walking down there, you know, kind of like he always does, and in a puff of smoke, you know, he's smoking a cigarette, looking around. He says, "Hey, boys," he goes, "this car is illegal." You know, he banged the wrench on the cage, and then, like, you know, donk, donk, donk. You know, it didn't sound like a steel, you know, ding when he hit it. And Laverne was sitting there, and he goes, "What'd he say?" I said, "Well, he told us that the car was illegal, and we couldn't race." And Laverne says, "Well, there's no rules." And he goes, "Well, we just made one, and you guys need to take that car home." So, you know, we watched the rest of the night, and at the end of the night, we took it back to Wichita and stripped it down, put it on a steel frame, and went back to Knoxville a couple of weeks later. Actually, it was in August. It was the Nationals. And we went up there, and that was my first time to actually get to race on the track during a big race like that. That was a pretty educational evening, and we qualified good. We were running good all weekend, you know, but that was my first time to really get in, you know, the click where everybody's there. So we ended up in the A feature on Friday night, and that was like a, you know, if you didn't qualify Wednesday or Thursday, you had to run Friday. So we were running Friday. We were leading the feature, going away, and blew the motor up with five laps to go. So I come rolling in there, and Laverne says, "Well, get all your stuff out of it. I just sold that car." So, you know, it's always chaotic when you was with Nance, and you never knew what was going to happen next.
And after you took that car apart, it actually sat on the shelf until, how did you obtain it?
It sat there from 1977 until Nance had a stroke in the late 90s, mid-90s. And he had an auction, and they were going to auction off everything they had and close down the company. You know, the family decided that. So they had a big auction set, and I heard about it, and I was going to try to go up there and my ex-mechanic that was actually working for me at that time, his name was Tim Carlson, in 77 when I tried to run that car, he told me about it first. He goes, hey, you're going to have to go up there and see if you can, you know, if you can outbid him and get that chassis, and we'll work on getting it restored. So I said, well, okay. So I go up there. It was hot. Everybody was there bidding on things, and I had a pretty good idea of what I thought it could be worth. It was just a frame and a belly pan. So I start bidding on it, and some guy there in Wichita is bidding against me. Finally, I just went over, and I said, I drove that car last, and we're going to restore that. And he goes, oh, I didn't know that's who drove it. And I said, yeah. So he quit bidding against me, and we got it on the bid. And I brought it back to Oklahoma, and then we got it arranged to that mechanic of mine. He was living in Seattle at that time, up by Snohomish. And he came down with the truck and picked it up and took it back. And he kept it up there for, it was probably 10 years. And I thought that he was, you know, getting the restoration done. And he told me one day, he said, I'm going to send that car back to you with everything I've gathered up. And he put it in a big box and sent it back to Oklahoma. So I had it from the mid-2000s up until I finally got it done this year, at the first of the year, and I displayed it at Tulsa. And now it's in the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame in Knoxville.
Well, it's not like we need another reason to go to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, but that is definitely one of them. Standing next to that race car was phenomenal. And I really encourage listeners, if you're heading anywhere near Knoxville, make a trip to the museum. If you're going down there for a race, don't forget to go over to the museum and also consider becoming a member, because that has some great perks.
Yes, it does. I've been lucky enough to be involved with the Hall of Fame Museum since about 2003. My dad was inducted into the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame as a race promoter, and he had passed in 91, so I went and accepted for him, and that's really what got me more interested in the Hall of Fame and what they do and how well they do it. I mean, if you've never been to one of those induction banquets like you were this time, I mean, I suggest you get a chance to go to it. It's always on the week after the Memorial weekend on Saturday afternoon on the, well, now lately it's been during the USAC Corn Belt Nationals, I think what you called it. So it's a good time to go.
Shane, thanks for all you do for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. Thanks for all you do promoting sprint car racing and preserving sprint car racing history at the Chili Bowl with your dinner events, bringing back retired drivers and doing meet and greets and everything that you do around the sport. It's just very cool to see, and thanks for being with us here on The Dirt Show today.
Looking forward to it next time, Clayton. Thank you.
When you need a trailer, you want selection, service, and someone who will be there after the sale. Zach's Sales and Service in Sherburn is this region's leader in quality trailers. From H&H, Aluma, Mission, and Easy Hauler. Whether you need a utility, enclosed, dump, flatbed, or tilt trailer, Zach's Sales and Service has over 300 trailers on the ground and ready for delivery today. Contact Zach's Sales and Service today at 507-764-2299 or see zachstrailersales.com, where service is right in their name.
Partnering with hog and cattle producers throughout the United States, Altenburg Construction has over 30 years of experience in the slat replacement business. Altenburg Construction uses a custom wash bay to ensure biosecurity for your herd. Whether you need an entire site or a single slat, stop into one of their three locations in Louisville, Minnesota, and Ziering in Washington, Iowa, and ask about their five-day guarantee. Or call 888-435-2210 or see altenbergconstruction.com.
BP Racing Fuels is proud to be recognized as a world leader in race fuel technology. BP's fuels have a well-deserved reputation for power and consistency, winning championships in every form of motorsports for more than 40 years. Whether sportsman or pro, methanol or gasoline, BP has a fuel to ensure optimum performance for your application. See the full line of BP's high-performance products online at vpracingfuels.com. At BP Racing Fuels, our passion is your performance.
Welcome back here on The Dirt Show, and I am joined by Josh Oldenburg from the Belle Plaine Napa Auto Parts Store. And Josh, you get involved a lot in your community, and you have a really cool event coming up August 27th, All Wheel Wednesdays.
Yeah, that's right. We like to get involved as much as we can and help out and have a good time.
I know as I go to car shows around the area and I go to racing events, you have a lot of guys who are into hot rods and customs in the Belle Plaine area. You also have Arlington Raceway. So you have a lot of car enthusiasts in your market, and I'm sure you see them in your store often and deal with them daily.
Absolutely, yeah. We have a good time with that. You know, we learn a lot from them. They hopefully learn some stuff from us. Yeah, we have a good time talking to these guys and seeing what they're building and what they're bringing out.
And speaking of learning stuff from you guys, Napa is celebrating 100 years in business this year, and many of the stores throughout the area have counter people who have been there for years or hands-on owners that when you walk in with that bearing that you're looking for from an older engine or you have an air filter that you're trying to replace, you guys know where to look, you know where to find it. If you don't have it in stock, you can get it, and you can get it fast.
Oh, absolutely. We take a lot of pride in being able to find, you know, the hard-to-find things that people just don't think are around much anymore or just something that's really odd. It makes the job a little more interesting that way.
You're kind of that extra assistant when it comes to starting or finishing a project to get them the things they need.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. It's it can definitely be fun, satisfying, you know, helping find that one weird part or last piece of the puzzle that these guys are looking for. So it's a good time.
I know all the Napa stores in the area are geared up for fall harvest. And the cool thing is, if you have a problem in the field, you can send one of your field hands in, have the part waiting for them literally at the counter, or if they happen to blow a hydraulic hose, you guys can replace that on the spot.
Oh yeah, yeah. We have quite a large selection of hydraulics fittings, and you know, different adapters that they may need. You know, you just never know what's going to happen out in the field.
Josh, if they want to come to the All Wheel Wednesday event, August 27th, where will that be located in Belle Plaine?
They do it right downtown at the main four-way intersection downtown. There's probably 3-4 city blocks they have blocked off. For that, you can register your vehicle. There's different giveaways, live music, lots of different food vendors. It really is a good time. A lot of people show up.
And how can they find your Napa Auto Parts store while they're in town?
We're right on Main Street, on the east end of town, right across from Quick Trip. You can look us up online, give us a phone, give us a call. We're pretty easy to find.
Josh, thanks for all you do in your area, and thanks for being with us here on the Dirt Show today.
All right, thank you for the time.
With 40 years of experience producing quality racing components, Kevco Racing Products is excited to unveil the new Kevco Drive Shaft. Kevco Drive Shafts are 100% American-made in the USA with USA-sourced materials. All drive shafts are meticulously hand-built and balanced on our new Superior Drive Lines Shaftmaster machine. Kevco Drive Shafts has the ability to custom-build any length drive shaft in mild steel, chrome moly, aluminum, or carbon fiber. Call them today, 800-770-3557 or online at kevcoracing.com. Why choose powder coating over liquid paint finishes? Maximum durability. Extreme powder coating offers a scientific process that uses electricity and heat to bake the colorful finish deep into your product. Extreme can deliver media blasting, impact-resistant epoxy primers, and durable powder coat applications to meet your needs. Custom colors and exhaust coatings are available also. Visit ExtremePowderCoating.net for more information.
Have to choose between comfort and capability when you're behind the wheel of a 2025 Honda Pioneer 704. Rugged and reliable, it delivers the power you need on the job, the smooth shifting you want on the trail. And with Honda's exclusive quick flip seating, you'll get the versatility of seating four passengers or stowing the back seats for a full cargo bed. See the latest Honda Pioneer 704 today at Trimble's Cycle Center in Austin. For your safety, read the owner's manual, wear a helmet and eye protection, close side nets and doors, and always wear seatbelts.
Honda side-by-sides are for riders 16 years and older. Trimble's Cycle Center in Austin, USA's second oldest Honda dealer.
In the United States, more than 150 million tons of steel are recycled annually. Millions of tires and approximately 160 million car batteries. Since 1972, Miskin Auto Parts has been a part of that recycling effort. This is Jim Miskin from Miskin Auto Parts. We have also helped to provide customers with quality, reusable parts locally and throughout the region with our daily shipping program. Give us a call at Miskin Auto Parts today for quality used parts. 507-684-2100. Recycle we must, and in God we trust.
Hi, this is Harvey West, and you've been listening to The Dirt Show. See you at the races.